Jason, care for a rundown?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Something special is about to happen.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Very aroused.
It was better than later.
Yeah. Let's do this.
That is incredible. That is unbelievable. That is brilliant.
Yeah, g'day Rubbers. Welcome back to the Weekly Rubdown, a podcast that rubs down everything NRL Super Coach. You are listening to the Team Review Rubdown. We're going to have a bit of a bo peep on the teams that Walker and I have drafted for 2024. I'm your host, Natty, and with me, as always, running shotgun in the Rubmobile is the Stats Wizard. Walker, what's going on, champion?
Not much, mate. Obviously got the kid that dropped last week, Sunday last week.
Shout out to Lockie.
Yeah, Lockie the Great.
Congratulations, brother. So,
yeah, a few sleepless nights and all that sort of jazz. But yeah, the beer has been well earned with a number of nappies this week.
So, Lockie, obviously Darren Lockyer, that's what we've gone with.
Yeah, yeah. So Lachlan Alexander, so Lockie. Alexander the Great, Lucky the Great. This is had no idea.
I love it.
How good.
I love it, bro. I love it. So, yeah, obviously, fucking weird start to the season. Bit of a soft opening for the weekly rubdown. I thought that we would take this opportunity to talk about the teams that we've drafted, both for the Loveless League, so the Notarizers and the Eskimo Bros, but also the team that we drafted in the Listener League, the Rub team. And with round zero and round one and the different team lists Tuesdays and the different waiver wire periods and everything that was going on, I thought, fuck, let's start fresh. Come round two with our matchups podcast. And this week, we'll just do a little bit of a review of the Vegas round and the two games that have already been, but definitely talk about the teams that we've drafted and also a bit of a preview about what's to come on the weekly rubdown. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, man, very firmly in the too hard basket, to be honest, between those 2 weeks.
We have on
Patreon, we've obviously we pumped out the matchups and all that sort of stuff last week. Then refined it, re-uploaded it yesterday, yesterday when the TLT came for the second week. So, look, it's the new normal now that round one seems to be kicking off in Vegas because it was just so successful. How good was it?
That first game
was some of the best footy I've seen in round one, like ever.
Arousing.
Ever. Oh, arousing. So good.
Arousing. Speaking of the Patreon, this rubdown is brought to you by our Patreon. Huge preseason. We hooked it to your veins. We pumped up the eyeballs with heaps of preseason draft content. Now, season regular. It's game time now. Now we'll start getting to the real grind of the season, start pumping out your matchups, your waiver wire stuff, all your flipping fetches. I won't go into it too much because I know Walker's going to talk a lot about what's to come on the Patreon later on in the podcast. But get on there. Tier 1, $5. Tier 2, that's the one you want, $8 a month. Get on there. If you enjoy what we do, if you like what we do, if you want to support the platform, you want to support us, that is the best way to do it because you're putting a couple of dollars in our pocket to keep doing what we're doing and allocating the time that we have to the free time that we have with kids and everything to the rubdown. And obviously, you're getting a lot in return with all the stat sheets and help. Look, I'm telling you, you're going to go a long way if you're hooked up with the weekly rubdown Patreon.
I mean, the amount of people that have said, oh, literally, you helped me win my league. It makes us feel really good. And even classic, like going up a few thousand spots in the overall and things like that, it's fucking massive. So
that's what we want to hear. Because of you boys. That's
like literally.
Me in the feels.
Yeah.
In the feels. Now, we've already cracked a beer because pull the curtain back. We've fucked up a couple of times on recording this. Cunt.
Shocker.
So the Mark Tinicello has already been pierced, but I'll have a sip anyway. Cheers, mate.
Yeah.
Here's to Lockie.
We put the semi into semi-professional podcast. Oh, so
baby. And we'll never change. We will never change. So that's the Patreon out of the way. I thought we would get into some injury stuff early on because there's a fair bit going at the moment. So if the fucking sting works, this is good stuff live.
I'm still alive, but I'm very badly injured.
Will Ferrell. Come on, mate.
It is a great sting, though.
First up, we've got Whitehead out for 3 to 4 weeks with a injury.
Yeah, and Zachy Hoskin comes in.
Yeah.
So he was one that I was pretty keen on preseason, and then I kind of cooled on him a fair bit when I realized that he's probably a year away from getting that spot locked down. So, look, I think he's a play for 4 weeks, but, I mean, that first round's not fantastic against the Knights. They defended pretty well. So, look, I don't think Whitehead's an option when he comes back anyway. So
It's the Vanilla Raiders.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of them. Yeah. Fuck them. Murata Niokore for the Warriors, minor foot fracture. To be announced here, obviously probably needs some more scans and stuff to go on here to find out how long he is out.
Yeah, I mean, potentially out for about a month, and Jackson Ford comes in. So we'd actually peg Jackson Ford to miss out possibly the team entirely, the 7-8. But look, he's had a bit of stroke of fortune. He'll be coming in on that right side. You'd imagine that Capel comes in on the left, his usual left. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that comes. But, yeah, it's not really one that I wouldn't sell the farm to bring in Ford, but yeah, if he's on freeze, he's definitely one to pick up for a couple of weeks for sure.
Not a bad little ATS for whoever's going to play that right edge back rower spot. Sharks did leak a lot of tries to right edge back rowers, and we've seen Murata Niokore smash through that line.
Teague Wilton? No, tell me that isn't so.
Teague Wilton Talakai, plus Moylan.
Teague Wilton plus Tricky.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait.
Yep. Fucking get into it. Yep. Smokey right there. Next one, Jaden Campbell, knee, and David Fifita with his pec. Still out with their respective injuries. Both eyeing a return between round 4 and round 6. Obviously, Titans have the bye round 3, so you might see them both back round 4.
Yeah. I think it's either round 2 or round 3. But, I think realistically we'll probably see them round 4. But
yep.
The one thing to consider with Fifita is the return to performance. Obviously, coming back from that pec injury, he's a guy who uses his fend a lot, tackling and all that sort of stuff. So it is something that, you're not going to get the best out of him. In saying that, great trade target to try to get some people who are less than impressed with how he returns. So
start to
tease it in and start to say that you're interested, and then go back in about, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then see if they're keen to do a cut price deal, which is what I'll be doing in another league.
Because honestly, drafters at the moment, I'm getting so many DMs of people just going, what do I do with this cunt? Should I drop him? Should I get rid of him? I'm like, bro, there's 2 games I've played. We've literally just started the season. You all need to pump the brakes. Let the dust settle. Let's give everyone the 3-date rule.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There is a reason why you have drafted these guys. You've done your study on them. You've backed them. Let's just see how they go. Unless you're talking about guys that you've picked with your second last pick or your last pick. You know, you can flick them here and there. But if we're talking about guys that you've picked in, say, the first 10 rounds, give them a shot. See what happens. You know, a lot of chat with the Roosters back rowers. Let's see how it goes. We still don't know. There were a lot of injuries in that game. We still don't know where the minutes are going to land. So just hold fire. Bench them if you need to. Do not drop people this early in the season. It's a big rookie mistake.
Yeah. And the guys who are coming in for Campbell and for Fifita is Keanu Keeney. So Brimo stays on that right center spot. I was having a look last night, and look, that right center spot was the worst performing position in the whole of the Titans team last season. So, look, I'm not overly enticed by Brimo anyway. This probably leans even further into that. So, look, then Cleese Haas comes in for Fifita. I'm not entirely sure which edge he comes on. I would suggest that Firma goes left. Cleese Haas goes right. But, yeah, we're probably going to have to wait to game day to figure that one out.
Interesting, because then if Firma goes left, do they keep Firma there and then Dave Fett comes back to the plane? Yeah. Right, fuck, big watch list, big watch list.
Big time.
Ripple effect there at the Titans super coach-wise. Jason Saab, hammy. Now, nothing concrete at this point, but Brian seems to think this type of high-speed mechanism and the type of athlete that Saab is could be missing from 4 to 6 weeks here. And I'll preface that by saying, look, we talk about these injuries, we list them out, we talk about some time that they're out, but please go listen to the Magic Sponge podcast, Brian talks about these injuries in depth, and they cover it a lot more on the Patreon as well. So
best injury analysis in the game.
Exactly. Yep. So we just list them here. Boys are talking about it more in depth over there. So definitely go have a look, listen to that every week. But yeah, Saab, fuck, he looked good too, didn't he?
He looked very good. You'd imagine that the guy that comes in for him next week will probably be Vega. He had a half decent first game of the trial, botched the second one. But yeah, I think he's probably the next man up.
I've heard whispers that Tommy Talau is a winger now. And that
is he actually?
And he he's been training at wing, and he might get the spot, which is very interesting for Classic, probably more so.
Yeah, yeah. Because he'll be coming in cut price, won't he?
Yeah, I heard Timmy T-Rex and The Roo talk about on Beers and Breakevens today, talking about a little bit of Tommy Talau. So,
yeah, Zaki Hosking himself.
Well, yeah. Fuck, Phoenix Crossland. The man himself. So Brendan Piacoro got knocked the fuck out. So everyone that owns him in Classic, which is pretty much all of us, and I played him. Did you play him? Do you have him?
No, I had him. I think everyone had him. Everyone who was taking Classic serious had him. But luckily I was like, ouch. it's going to be low scoring there. He's an edge back rower. Nah, no thanks. It's hurt a lot of people.
Yep. Yeah, and the implications of him getting knocked out, and then obviously Carrigan moving to the edge. We know Carrigan's shit house on the edge for super coach. Pumped out a sub 50 point performance. So yeah, there was a bit going on because of that. But he should be right. He should be right coming back next round.
Yep. Well, they've got I think they've got 11 days until the next game, which ties in perfectly for the 11-day stand down.
That's it. Tommy Gilbert and Cohen Hess, both ACLs, season-ending injuries. No good for Tommy Gilbert. That is actually really sad. Shout out to him. That's
after
horrible.
That shit that he did with his shoulder last season, to have that happen, it's a bad break.
Yep. So obviously that opens the door for Ray Stone.
Yep, for sure. So there was about a cast of thousands who were put forward that could come in for that role. I think even Jesse Bromwich was mentioned as an option as well. So I think Flegler, Kenny Brom, Wallace, there are a fair few. But yeah, Ray Stone, who I tied my wagon to, thankfully.
Well done.
Yeah. So I had to pick and stick somehow.
So that's nice for Ray Stone there for the Finns. And obviously Cohen Hess, that's going to open up some minutes there in the middle for the Cows. So you might see a little bit more out of Jason Tomalolo. You know, Ruben Cotter might get some more minutes. So, yeah, a little bit of a ripple effect there for Supercoach. So not bad. Big one. Sia Wong cleared of an injury. Thank fuck for that.
He was one that did play, and I was watching his minutes, and I was like, "Are you fucking serious? He's off for fucking Butcher."
I know.
I knew as soon as he ran out on that right side, I knew Butcher's going to spell him. Fuck.
And we still don't know what's going to go on there. No. It's a weird thing to be like switching and changing your edge back roles. Maybe Robbo is still trying to find, you know, who that guy is going to be.
Well, when you got four NRL standard edge back rowers, you kind of want to inject them in the game somehow, don't you? And it's a waste to put guys like Satilia and guys like Gussie through the middle, because I think they do have better middles like that White guy and others. So, I think it's a real tough position for Robbo to be in, because, look, blessed with choices.
100%.
Much like the Cows.
And speaking of Satilli, he needs scans on his groin. He's just a little minor complaint. Doesn't sound serious, but it is one to monitor there. Like if he's out for a little bit, then you can cement Wong in for a good chunk of minutes, because you would expect that Nat Butcher comes in and takes his spot. Looks like Angus Crichton's out of favour.
Yeah,
it's just those three boys that they're sharing the minutes at the moment. Some guys to keep a close eye on for round one: Cam Munster with his groin injury. So they've got Pizzette there ready to go if he is a late out. So fucking keep an eye on team lists on X an hour before kickoff. Make sure you check the team list, because he could be a late out.
If you're a Munster owner, do yourself a favour and handcuff him to Pezzett, because Pezzett won't come in unless Munster or Hughes is out. So it makes sense to have him there if you've got the space on your bench.
Yep, I totally agree. Our boy, big blocker, Blake Laurie, with a rib cartilage injury. He has been named, but has been in doubt for the last week. So keep an eye on him, because
that's an important injury as well, especially for a front rower.
For a front row forward,
it's going to hurt his PPM and possibly his minutes. So
one
to really keep an eye on.
Especially for a guy that's probably going to average 75 this year. You know, it's a big hit. Jacob Little with his hammy, he's named to go, but should be sweet. Suspensions, plenty of them at the moment coming into this season. So Seb Chris, he's back round two. Corey Horsburgh, round four. Toa Sipley, back round four. Micah Sivo, back round four. Mitch Kenny, round two. JWH, round two. Jack White in round three, and Leilua round three. So plenty of guys returning. Keep an eye on free agents and waivers. If they've been forgotten about, if guys are slow to the party about when these guys are returning, keep a close eye on it. Get some claims in. This is where you attack. When cunts are slow, when they're not up, quick on the uptake, that's when you attack.
Yeah, and guys like Morgan Smithies is an interesting one. Like, he's obviously been named at lock. There's a fair bit of mail around that Hodge was going to be played a bit more through the middle, outside of lock. So
look,
it could be the space where Smithies kills it. He gets 60-80 minutes. So
100%.
He's a mad pickup if he's available in any of your leagues. Great one to have on your bench as an option to cycle.
And the Raiders are lacking in middles too. Like they don't have many. So Morgan Smith is coming in there and doing well. That'd be good for the Raiders. Just plug a few holes there that they're missing some big boys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like they don't have Mariota and fucking every other.
Yeah. Jesus. Some guys that are going to return shortly. Josh Schuster with that calf. He's due to return round two. What's going to happen there at the moment? I wouldn't play him. Bencivojvic is way too good. I think that's really good for both players in terms of their output. Nothing motivates players like competition, and I think that's great for both players. Could be a little bit of a nightmare for Supercoach, not knowing what's happening, especially if they run with Schuster on the bench, because he is a bit of a utility.
Oh, yeah.
That could be a nightmare if you've got Bencivojvic. So keep an eye on that.
Worst position to be in.
I know. Big Nass, he returns round two from a hammy. Jaden Brayley, round two from a hammy. Dom Young, round two from that neck injury. So if any of those guys are sitting out there, you want to get them.
Yeah.
Swoop in and pick them up. Mate, let's get into the Vegas review, the games over there. From by all reports, everything that was over there, the Hello Sport boys, the Bloody Brilliant boys, Guru, Hammy, all the boys reckon it was fucking pumping, that it was amazing. It was really well run. Everything was smooth. That's sort of what I was worried about. And when I was talking about going over there with a few of the boys, I was like, look, probably year two's the year to go, because, you know,
they'll iron out all the kinks.
Yeah, 100%, but it sounds like there wasn't any kink. So some really good footy was played there. The shortened field it wasn't really an issue.
Had no effect at all. A
couple of grubbers that like sat up 1 meter.
The short dead ball was massive. Yeah.
But now really, really good footy. And I mean, when you're frothing for it, when you're just absolutely gagging for rugby league, and then they pump out this spectacle in Las Vegas. I mean, tapping it with a cold spoon. So arousing. It was like, just, it was next level, bro.
I said it before. Like, it was probably that first game was the best round one game that I've seen in as long as I can remember. Like, high quality, end to end sort of footy. There were times when you just didn't know who was going to win. Like, and in a good way, though. A lot of scoring and a lot of big hits. fair few bits of claret coming out everywhere as well. So,
and you knew it was going to happen.
Loved it, mate.
So with that first game, Seagulls beating the Bunnies 36-24. Mm. So just to run our eye over some Supercoach points, you just got to be happy with the big guns. Turbo looked fit, firing, looked sexual.
Yep.
Latrell, I'm always Latrell a big Latrell guy. like every year I look at him and go, I love him. I would love him in my team. The thing to note with Luttrell, loves the occasions, loves the big games.
He's always going to have a big game there.
Yeah, 100. But right to left pass, left to right, doesn't matter. Either side of the field, he was looking dangerous.
Did you see that one that he pinged left to right? Oh, that was sexual. That was amazing. Yep. That was so good.
Champagne rugby league. Luke Brooks, we were big on Luke Brooks the whole preseason. Yeah. I mean, he had to do a lot to get that 59 points.
Almost got 2 to 3 tries himself.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you got to be happy with it. I think he's still sort of going to warm into this role of just being able to run the ball. And you know what I found with him? I was like, the footwork on the cunt. Yeah. He is fleet-footed, man. And just not having to worry about pass the ball and just go at the line himself. He was, that was really good to see. So I think we're bang on with Luke Brooks. He's going to have a good season. I think we pegged him for a 60 average, which that looks like it's going to happen. Benchavoy, which was really good. Ruben Garrick was fantastic at center. He's going to be one of those centers that if you own the winger outside him, so Saab or whoever it's going to be, probably won't see a lot of ball.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you're talking about a winger, a left winger. Now he's on the right, so he has to have a left to right pass. How many times do you think Garrick has passed left right in his career in a game? In an NRL game?
Never in a game. Unless he was playing fullback.
Yeah. So it's going to be tough for him to get, you know, Saab space, but Saab creates his own space. Just unfortunate with that injury. Other than that, mate, that's probably the ones that I really took away from it all. I was like, yep, Turbo, Luttrell. So if you drafted those guys, you're very, very happy.
Yeah, I think one of the other big things that come out of it is, despite what we were thinking with the type of game that we'd see, so low scoring, high defensive game, big base game, the forwards just didn't stand up. In that way. So the scoring was really deflated for a lot of the middle forwards from both sides, which I was a bit surprised in. So Kepi scored shit, Tola scored shit. On the other side, Paseka scored shit. Aloia always scored shit. But yeah, it was an interesting one. And even Gerbo didn't really set the world alight with his score either. So look, it's one to take into account when you for next year that maybe that field, it's the occasion that's going to be a bit different.
Probably coming in a little bit unfit as well. The boys, you know, not a lot of game fitness, especially some of those big boys, the veterans that haven't played any trial footy that have just coming in fresh round one.
It was still low error game though. It was, I thought it was a really good, good entertaining game, which you don't see as often in round one.
Love it. And then the next game, and I haven't really talked to you about this, but Roosters beating Broncos.
Yeah. Look, you don't win a...
I didn't see it coming.
You don't win a premiership in round one. You don't lose a premiership in round one. But look, it gives the Broncos a bit of drive through the season.
They looked rusty.
I don't think they were ever out of it entirely.
No.
But they just did... They you could see they were almost going to go to that next gear, and then it just... Things weren't working for him.
Just rusty, clunky, round one. Yeah. But on the other hand, Roosters looked slick. They looked very good.
Roosters looked like they're in like third, fourth gear. Yep. My concern is a lot of things have to go right for them. So we'll see how they go through the season. I've got them making the eight, but I don't think they'll be quite as dominant in the last stretch like they were last season.
Again, got to be happy with all the guns in these teams. If you drafted Teddy, we were big on Teddy being a sleeper. He looked really good. He looked like a different player.
He was quite good.
Has to be more involved in the ball playing sort of things. But looked really good. Joey Manu. You know I'm a big Joey Manu guy.
How about that pass? That flick pass towards the end of the game. Jesus.
Direction.
That was tap it with a cold spoon.
Every year I'm big on Joey Manu. I didn't have him in the top 10. I had him more sort of like early round two, but I just love him. He's just one of those chub rubs for me. He looked unstoppable. But Reece Walsh, I mean,
yeah,
everything went wrong for the Broncos. He's still pumped out an 81. I will say with Reece Walsh is, it will be a roller coaster. You'll be sitting there and it'll be a 60 minutes in and he might have 27 points and you're going, oh no.
It's much like what's his name, Latrell back in the day.
Mm.
You know, he'd be sitting on, say, 16, 17 points and then in one frigging play, he'll put on 80 points. It's amazing. But yeah,
he has to do a lot to get those points.
Mm. But he does it.
But the fact is, that's his game. He does do a lot. He's in everything. The narrower field really fucked him because he wants to skip on the outside of blokes and get some space on the outside.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't happening for him. But just to see that pure pace, I mean, wow.
But he goes from zero to full speed so quickly that all the defenders are on their back foot.
Did you see I think it was who was there on the left? Sualee. And he got to the point where he planted his feet, ready to tackle, and even in slow motion, it looks like he teleported. Like he just he juked out to the right, and Sualee just literally just grasping at air, just went, "Where the fuck did that cunt go? He was just there."
And Sualee is not slow. Sualee is not slow at all.
No, exactly. So yeah, I think you're just going to get those games, and look, you might even get some games where he might pump out a 30. Do you know what I mean?
We didn't really see too many of them, though, and that's the one positive thing that we saw last season. The one thing that I liked is in the lead up to the game, he's working a lot on his goal kicking. So if you're in a keeper league, he is a fucking awesome option because he's the next man up when A-Ray retires to be the kicker. So, because we know it's not going to be fucking Stags because he can't kick his way out of a wet paper bag.
No. A few guys that overperformed that really, Ricky had a good game. Corey Jensen had a really good game, but there was injuries
He came in so early because of the Piakura HIA. Yep.
Let's talk about him, Terrell May. I'm not going to sit here and take credit for this. Obviously, I own Terrell May, but I'm taking zero credit for it. I just pulled in behind Guru, slipstream, and picked him with Guru's nod of approval. And wow, Guru's nailed it. The bloke is a weapon. He is unbelievable. Do I think he's going to get 54 minutes every week? No, but he doesn't need it.
No, he's pumping out. He's pumping out offloads left, right, and center.
The offloads. Like
he's doing so much in the time that he's on the field. He's got a ridiculous PPM, so he doesn't need the big minutes. And I think when JWH does come back next week or the week after, those minutes will drop a little bit. But Robbo said after the game, he was surprised at his motor, and like he's probably in line to have a bump in the minutes that you would usually see from him.
He could be the number one front row forward this Terrell May. I mean, it's Jay's last year,
Spencer Lanier is probably not going to be there much longer.
Exactly, 100%.
Fuck, what a dickhead.
Jared, they'll ease Jared back in. They'll manage his minutes. They'll want Jared humming come finals. Do you know what I mean? So they're not going to overwork him during the regular season. Collins isn't going to play fucking 60 minutes every week. Radley played 80 minutes. That's not going to happen every week. So honestly, you've drafted Terrell May to get a 50. You've probably drafted him like second last, something like that. And you've drafted him to get 50 points. He'll easily get that. He'll be a 55 average guy, maybe even more depending on the minutes. But one thing that I did look at his stats and I was like, he only had one tackle break. That's probably going to be his lowest tally for tackle breaks all year.
Well, you have to imagine when you've got a less compressed field, a bit wider, a bit more stretched defensive line, holes are going to open up for him more and more often. So, and fuck, if he's getting double teamed in defense, he's going to be able to get an arm free and get that offload, and then there's space, maybe line break assist. So
he's obviously got a lot to do the offload. Another thing that I was thinking about as well, they've got Sandon Smith on the bench, not Watto. Now, Sandon Smith is a half at heart. So you've got, if he comes on and Terrell May's still out there, now you've got a real try-scoring threat now through the middle. You know, sends darts out of dummy half, turns Terrell May in close to the line. It's going to be very hard to stop. So that's something else that I was thinking about just going, that'd be nice as well. But very happy with Terrell May. Mm. If you don't have him in Classic, I mean, get him in round three. Have to. The second row juggle, not much to talk about there. We need probably another couple of games to see how that all pans out. I will say,
I think it was because of the injuries as well.
Yeah, hard to put your finger on it, really. But yeah, that's probably about it from me for that game, man. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, apart from the result, I thought it was a fantastic game as well. Probably not as entertaining as the first game, but look, it was high quality football both games, I thought, and look, outside of these four teams, who do you reckon should go there next year?
Well, I don't know what they're going to do, whether they're going to try and get four new teams, like they're going to get Panthers, Warriors, Storm, and maybe someone else, you know?
I'll tell you the team that I don't want to see there is Panthers.
Why?
The most boring brand of footy in the land. Yeah. Defense wins premierships, and like they are the greatest team. But fuck, they're not going to get any supporters. That's not from a new crowd who aren't attuned to the game.
I will say this though: if you had to pick a team that is as close to an NFL team as in energy, celebrations when they're all like, and how they turn up to games and stuff like that, I would say the Panthers, and also you're showcasing the best player in the world. You're like, this is the best player that we have. But yeah, man, I don't care who the fuck it is. I'll be there. Yeah,
it's gonna be successful whoever it is. But I mean, they're not going to send teams like Bulldogs, Tigers, Dragons, or anything like that. So well, as long as it's like a bit of a tussle and there's a few sparks flying and all that sort of stuff, I mean, they'll be good games no matter what.
Look, and if you're a fan of the Dragons, Tigers, Dogs, these type of teams, and you've got your fucking knickers in a twist about your team not going over there, you need to realize that they are selling a product. We need to showcase the best of the best. It's as simple as that. All right. Should we dive into how the Loveless League draft went? It's going to be very interesting.
Your team just sucks. Yes, your team completely sucks. I can't even bring myself to say their name because it leaves a taste in my mouth like I've just licked my own crotch.
What the fuck?
Okay, so we'll talk about where we picked first. So actually, no, we'll start with the challenge weekend and sort of touch on a little bit of that.
And also how the draft actually goes as well, because I was up against it.
We need Don't worry, talk about that you drafted later on in the draft. We'll cover all that, Wooker. It's okay. We'll let the people know that you draft 11th, okay? Now, so we have a big weekend, Paul. Wooker couldn't come because of Lockie being born. But that's how the cookie crumbles. You don't come.
Yeah, exactly.
You get put where you get put. So Wooker had a semi-decent excuse. And had to draft 11th. So the challenge weekend is a 3-day event. So we drive down there on the Friday, get there around lunchtime, start setting up, cracking beers the whole way down, drink it all afternoon. And then it kicks off in the afternoon. We have a marble race. We play beer pong, which was fucking hilarious. We've got a bloke that plays basketball on the weekend, Big Sammy Cleary. Shout out to you, Big Bubba Ganoush. And he was draining them. He was impossible to beat. So that was good. Then we had a surprise challenge, which was the WWE challenge, which was so good. We got this idea from one of Guru's followers that put it out there that they do that. So what I did was I created a wrestling character for everyone in the league, tried to make it their team color, tried to make it as close to their likeness as possible. Maybe I took some liberties there a little bit.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
And then you set the wrestling match up and it's completely simulated. So you kick back with a beer, you watch your character in Royal Rumble, and as players get thrown out of the ring, that's how you finish that challenge. So that was really good. Yeah, the marble race as well, had the presentation night that night, obviously gave the trophy away, the Spirit Award, the Weasel Award, the Hopper Award. By that time, we were fucking toasted. We FaceTimed Wilco when he was at home.
There was fucking pandemonium with the results of the vote as well.
So good. And then so Saturday morning, we wake up. Boys are on the barbecue, so big greasy breakfast with a cruiser as our drink at 7:30 a.m. And then into the challenges, so dropouts, close to the pin, grubbers, passing, cornhole, you name it, we were doing it. It was a big day. And then you drink on into the early hours of the morning, you get up, you draft, and that's how it goes pretty much. So really dusty when I was drafting.
And for some guys, they leave before you go to the pub for beers on the Sunday.
Yeah, dogs.
Am I right? Yeah,
Absolute dogs. But, mate, when we were drafting midday on Sunday, there were blokes that were spewing outside between their picks. So that's how big Saturday it was.
Shout out to Sammy Cleary.
Yeah. So look, Sam Cleary and Tom Sutton. Shout out, boys. The Vomitrons. So I picked three. And I told
that's,
you
that's
I,
probably your best result in a.
Well, I told you I was taking it serious because I wanted to get two. That I was really trying to get two so that I would get your second round pick. I was trying my hardest. Shanked the first challenge. It was the dropout. Because you obviously
You've never kicked them good though.
You have to do it in your full costume, and the thing I was wearing was difficult, so I shanked that. But then cornhole won it easy, won it easy, won the next challenge. I forget what it was. Then I was floating around that sort of fifth, sixth, seventh, and then made a strong charge towards the end there. Can't remember it, but I obviously did because I got third, and so I'm very happy with that. And so on Sunday, we kick off and we've got Nico Hines went first, Cleary, and then it was an easy pick for me, KP. I've never owned him. Very excited to own KP. Don't really care about the head knocks. I just want to see him out there just dusting motherfuckers. Captaincy option every week. Let's see that ceiling. Going to be big, going to be huge. Get him up here. I want to buff him.
Yeah, it's he's the guy that everyone wants, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Big chub rub too, like a guy that I'm going to enjoy watching because
despite how big everyone is on him, he's still undervalued.
I got a boner.
Very big boner.
Now, Wooker, pick 11.
Yep.
So a lot of picks before you. We won't fucking cover them all, but where were you sitting? How were you looking? What were you hoping to happen? Talk us through it.
So pick 11. So the first three rounds of our draft is linear. So I'm up against it regardless. So I go pick 11, pick 23, and then pick 35 before it starts to go back to snake. So,
and the reason we do this is to give the people that win the challenge day or finish higher on the challenge day a reward, because if you just did snake, there's really no reward for coming fourth, fifth, sixth in the challenge day. You would rather lose it and come 12th. So we make it that way so that the challenge day actually means something and everyone's keen to go as high as they can on the ladder on challenge day.
So I'm pick 11, obviously shit ton of guys ahead of me to pick. Most of the real high ceiling guys are gone by comes to me. I was hoping that either Fifita or Lil Puppy fell to me, because I think either of those two could be premiership winning.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up went with Fifita. Had a feeling about him. I knew that he was going to be missing the first 4 weeks. Possibly return a performance in maybe 8 to 10 weeks, but he'll be fit and firing for most of the season anyway. So yeah, I ended up going with Fifita and went, fuck it. I'll have to duck and dive for my next few picks, because I usually prefer my first pick in the draft, especially in our league, to be a half or a fullback.
Yeah, that's on value though. Like we had him pegged between pick 8 through to pick 12, so that's exactly where we had him. And if he's anything like he was last year, it is going to be a good pick. Then we – so how it works, we snake back up. So Walker's picking again in two picks, but he contacts whoever came second and gets them who they – and asks them who they want. So who'd you have to pick?
So I was on the phone to Cleary. He came second. So, yeah, I was on the phone to him, rattled off a few. He didn't have a fucking Scooby. His first instinct was to go Cam Murray. And I went, are you sure, Cam Murray? Really, mate? Really, mate?
Tragic buddy.
And then he said, oh, Payne Haas. Just get me Payne Haas. And I was like, well, fine. Look, it's probably close to value because I think he's going to have a strong season as well. But, yeah, it's not one that I would have gone with. Not at pick 14.
Who did you end up with? So who did you get Cleary to pick for you? So who's your second pick?
So it ended up going all the way down to pick 23. And like, I rattled off four guys and in order of who was going to be left. And I said Lil Papi, and I said, no, he's going to go, so don't worry about him. And then I said DCE and someone else. And it turned out Lil Papi was available at pick 23. So I managed to lock him down. So I was absolutely stoked with that start.
Yeah, you've done really well there because obviously with that first pick of David Fifita, you're worried about your ceiling. You're worried about that upside in your first two picks, and you've sort of fixed that with Papi. Like all things going well, good season for Papi. Maybe he gets the goal kicking, everything like that.
That would be so amazing.
If everything sort of comes up Papi, then that Fifita Papi combo is going to be very nice because you've got someone that's super consistent that can go large, and then you've got a guy that's a supersonic super coach player. So,
and I've also got a spine player in my first two picks, which I desperately needed. So, that was kind of the approach from my side, and then had to wait a little while for my next pick. Picked up Cam. One of the other ones I was tossing up to get was Cam Munster as well. And he was the guy that I got asked to pick up by Cleary. So pick 26. So had the choice of Lil Papi or Cam Munster.
I like it.
Look, you're just not going to win a premiership with Cam Munster.
Papi's good pick. Super value. Like at one point I was saying, like, I'll take Ryan Pappenhausen pick 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, well, like, you're getting him that's the thing.
His ceiling is ridiculous. He averaged 90. Like, people are forgetting. Yep. He averaged 90. And it's one of those things that, I'm stoked. I can't wait to see how it all turns out because I do think that it's going to be a big season for him. Look, he deserves some luck in his life as well.
That final strength of schedule is tasty as well. I had an early round two pick. Obviously, with pick 3, I ended up with what's that pick?
15.
15. So, with KP, I asked Jace to pick up my boy, the beast, Greg Marzu. Now, my pick would have been a little bit different if I didn't have KP, but because I had KP. Then there was an opportunity there for me to have one of the best stacks in Supercoach.
Who would you have gone if you didn't have Ponga?
Have Ponga at that 15. I mean, there were some sexy names there.
It's like Toto's there, Manu's there. Well, Papi's there, but you wouldn't go fullback to fullback.
Toto. We had Toto rated higher.
You had Toto above him.
Yeah. So we had him rated above Greg Marzu, but I mean, the stack is what got it over the line for me. So very happy with my first two picks there, KP and Greg Marzu. I'm a big Knights guy this year, big Knights guy.
You would love to hear that.
And then, so we're going into round 3 here. So it comes back towards me. And I've shored up a high CTW, I've shored up a fullback. Both super high ceilings, so not really worried about ceiling at this point. And my boy Paddy Carrigan's there, and
base 27,
get him in. I think he's going to average 65 to 70, very consistent, as long as he doesn't play edge anymore.
He's going to average 47 based on what he did last week. Seriously.
Do you want to trade him? Don't play him on the edge. Don't play him on the fucking edge. Disgusting. But again, another pick where last year I really wanted him. He's a chub rub. I like watching him play. When I watch Broncos games, my eyes are always on him because I love those guys that just rip and tear the whole game. So I'm really happy. I think it's value anyway, or at value. But the fact that I've got a guy that I really enjoy watching, that's another thing.
Yeah, for sure. No, I understand that. Round it's a bit three, higher than I would have gone for him. I was pick 35, so I had to wait a little while to get back to me. I just wanted to shore up another spine position, pretty much a half position I absolutely needed. Like round three and four is your halves pick. So I went Cody Walker because the round before, Luke Brooks, who was it? Luke Brooks, DCE, and Matty Burton all went, as well as A-Ray quite early. So look, I was – and Moses. So I was like, I just need to get at least one half. I can pair someone else with him. That's fine. Went Cody Walker because I knew I could get a halfback pretty cheap later in the draft. Mm. So sorted that out. It's not someone that I was keen on or hugely keen on before the draft. And he is one that like I'm a little bit concerned about what the output's going to be just with the Latrell and Jackie Whiten factor. Like it could be insane or it could be pretty deflated like we saw last week. So look, writing's not on the wall yet, but yeah, it's not one that I was super stoked with, but it's the pick I had to have.
Right, mate. Well, fuck me. We have to kick this in the gear. We can't be talking 10 minutes about every player will be here all night.
I think just for the first three picks, just give a bit of clarity and then we can just rip through whether they're valuable or not.
Like, let's go. Come on.
All right.
Yeah.
Wrapped around me. Yep. So we started again in a snake after this. So was pick 35, then wrapped around to me 38. Eli Katoa, super value. Mm. I thought he should have gone in round three. Loved it. Fucking loved it.
Yeah, we're both big on him. Yeah. It's a good pick. Right. He is in the elk of those attacking 2RFs that we're big on, you know, the Olakuatus, those type of players, the Nikoras. Yeah, yum.
He's got the upside as well that you don't see in many 2RFs. So, yeah, I'm big on him.
I do like it. I do like it. Now, at this point in the draft, I'm sort of not – it's like – hooker, 5'8", it's like whoever just pops up, I'm going to take, and the other position is just going to fall by the wayside. So, and I hadn't really thought about JMK because I expected him to go round three where he belongs.
Yep.
And round four, pick 46 rolls around, JMK sitting there. I thought that was an absolute gift. And
yeah, it was a steal.
Put him in there, and all of a sudden, hooker's my spot. And then I totally forgot about 5'8". I was like, oh, AE 5'8", fuck it. So really happy with JMK there.
No, that was supreme value. I looked at him pretty closely for both the Cody Walker and Eli Katoa picks. But, yeah, I decided just to let Hooker be my 5'8".
Yeah, that's it.
It was always going to be one of the other positions.
One of them had to lose out.
Yeah, for sure.
And then so rotated back to me in round five, and I got my boy Sam Walker. I was always going to get him. Round five.
That was a chub rub for you.
So. Round five was the round that I definitely wanted to get him. So it was always that if round five came and he was sitting there, that's when I would pick him because that was the round I was happiest at. I may have reached for him in round four if JMK wasn't there, but round five, really happy with that. And that just cemented my opinion on him watching him in Vegas. The dude's tough as nails and he is going to be a 65 averaging player if he can stay on the park, and that Roosters side have got a lot of points in them. Really happy with that pick, and obviously that shored up my halfback spot. Now I've got hooker, fullback, and halfback sorted in my first five picks. Happy as Larry. Fuck 5'8".
Exactly right, mate. So yeah, it's gone across to me. Pick 59. Jacob Carraz was still on the board.
Rub a dub dub.
Thanks for the rub. Yeah, so he was always going to come on board if he was available in round five, and look, he slipped a little bit. So look, I'm happy with him even if he's at center. Still keen on him. Average, I think it was 62, 63 when he played five games at center last year. So look, he's going to be all
right.
This
is the peak of your draft. So your fourth, fifth, and sixth pick is the peak of your draft. It's what I like the most. Do I need to talk about Jacob Carraz? We're huge on Jacob Carraz. We love Carraz.
No, we're already massive.
Yep, and he's playing center. Like that even more. Perfect. He averaged 65 at center last year. So great pick.
Yep.
Huge rub call. Big chub rub. Going to enjoy watching him play. So good, bro.
Yeah, so I was pretty stoked with that one. And then followed that up with the return pick at 62 for RTS. So I'm really keen to see. Like after what we saw in the trials, he was amazing. So look, I think he's turned about the clock to what he's capable of. Never played center before. You'd never know it. Real vibes of Manu at center. Mm. So I'm super stoked with what he's got to offer. He's got insane talent, and yeah, he's just a joy to watch. So I'm stoked that I got him at 62.
So I thought he'd go earlier. When you picked Carraz, I loaded RTS. Loaded RTS.
I love that.
Loaded RTS up there. I was like, look, if he can skate past Wook, I've got him, because I don't think anyone else is going to get him. Really good pick. Love it. You know, we only run two CCWs, so you're running with Carraz and RTS now. That's very, very tasty.
I was tossing up real hard between Bradman Best, who I'm really keen on as well, and RTS. And RTS dropped with me, and then Bradman Best straight after. And I was like, fuck, have I made the right call? I'll enjoy watching RTS a lot more. Yep. So that was effectively what put me over the line.
Great pick.
Yep.
Now it comes to me at pick 70. Now, this is where I'll talk about a bet that I had with a guy in our league, Riso, during the 2023 season, which was winner gets the loser's fourth round pick. And that's not swap picks. That's I get your pick and I'll give you whoever I want, right? Because I was hungover as the devil's anus, like I was fucking hanging out of that thing like you wouldn't believe. My brain wasn't working. Pre-draft list was up to shit. I was winging everything. Totally forgot about it. Now, in pick four, I should have looked over to Riso and said, pick this guy for me. But forgot. And at this point, I've still forgotten, right? So at this pick, pick 70, I'm happy with my upside. The edge back rowers that I liked have gone. So Ryan Madison sitting there, a guy that will pump out 60 to 65, pick 70. That's great value. And I'm like, yep, I'll get him in. That way I've got two really consistent back rowers, Pat Carrigan and Ryan Madison, really, really happy. I'll talk about the fourth round draft pick at the end. But at this point, I was just like, look, I've shored that up, all good. But if I had have not been so hungover and remembered that I had Riso's fourth round pick, Ryan Madison would be in my team. But that's how it goes. That's what it is. Ryan Madison comes in.
Yeah. I was a bit surprised with that one, just with the amount of forwards that they've got. Obviously, Wirra McGregg still is to come into that team. And if they were running with the four forward bench, would have been a bigger issue. Obviously,
hello, having that two hookers. I'm the only guy in Australia.
That's massive. That's massive for the Mato owners.
I'm the only guy in Australia that's happy about it. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. So, fucking Brad Arthur, you dirty stinking liar.
Trickster. He's a trickster. So then it rotates it back around to me in round seven, pick 75. I'm looking at shoring up my CTWs here. Zach Lomax has slipped way too far. Even if he only plays right wing, I still think this is value. We know that the Dragons are a right dominant side. He's a goal kicking winger. I don't care who they play for. At pick 75 is crazy value. So Zach Lomax comes in. It is a roll of the dice. If somehow he does score that fullback fucking roll, pick 75. Holy.
Look, I think, look, he couldn't hit the side of a barn last year with his goal kicking as well. So I would imagine he's improved his goal kicking from last year. So I think that is a bit of an improvement. And then you look at the amount of tries that he was giving out to Ravalawa, he's now going to be scoring them. So rather than the 12 points for a try assist, getting the 17 points for the try plus the line breaks and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I think the upside is huge for him. Bit of a concern with his scoring potential just in general sometimes. But look, I think, and when I say scoring potential in general, I just mean because he's part of the Dragons. But look, with Flano there, Shane Flano, not the other one. I think there is going to be some improvement, but I think the improvement's going to be more in defense than in attack. So I'm still not overawed by their spine. So yeah, it's still a wait and watch for me. But look, I think it's value for pick 75 for sure.
I'll talk about the other CTWs I've got. He mightn't even make my side. All right, how'd you go on round 7?
What are the CTWs?
Tell him, mate. Talk about him later.
Oh yeah, that's right. All right, it came back to me at pick 83. I decided to shore up my halfback spot. Picked up Jamal Fogarty. Not overawed by this one, but look, I think it's a little bit of value. I think you should have gone around 6. It's a vanilla pick, but I needed to get a halfback. So
yeah, it's one of those picks where it's like, oh, I don't want to do it, but I have to, and it's probably value. Yuck, but oh well, I'll get him.
Look, I think anything good that happens with the Raiders is going to come through him. He's going to have goal kicking, which he didn't have last season. So any points that they do score, which is going to be minimal, he'll get the goal kicking, and he's a good goal kicker as well. So, look, this is all the stuff that was going in my head trying to talk myself into picking him up. But, yeah, it wasn't my finest. It wasn't my happiest pick. It wasn't a bad pick. It just wasn't my happiest pick.
I get you. And then who'd you back it up with in round 8?
Yeah, so I went with one of the guys that I was pretty big on preseason before we spoke with Brian and our physio. It's Mitchie Barnett. I think his output's so good that while he's on the field, he's going to be unreal. I know that I'm taking a bit of risk on bringing him in, but fuck it. You got to risk it for the biscuit. So he's going to just come in at my front row, punch out some good minutes, get a 60 to 65, and I'm happy with that. That's pretty similar
to how my pick 8 went as well. Front row forward, obviously doesn't have the dual eligibility like Barnett, but a guy that has the potential to go 60 to 65. Gamble because of Dez. What's the minutes going to be like? Don't know. Yeah. But again, I'm a big Mofo fan. I have had him the last 2 years. So it's a bit of a love pick as well. Yeah. And at pick what's that fucking 94, crazy.
That's pick 94. Yeah, that's huge. Like we were pegging him to go in round 6 or 7. So to get him in round 8.
Yeah. So awesome my value. First front row forward. And I usually do like to start picking front row forwards around that 100 pick. So that's pretty much on brand for me. Mm. So square away that first front row forward pick, and then it returns to me in round 9. And Sivitalikai is sitting there at pick 99, plays left edge for Sharks, has upside.
They're a left dominant team.
He goes in the team. I mean, I'm not a huge Sivitalikai. This is sort of like a Jamal Fogarty pick for me. He's there. Yeah, he's value.
Look, value is value.
He's not a chub rub in my team, but I had to take him. That's ridiculous where he is. Yeah. Get in my team.
Look, you look at his scores when the team's going well, and he's pumping out 60s left, right, and center. Like he's got a shit ceiling, but like since he scored that 150 or whatever a few seasons ago, shit ceiling. But he's just consistent, and I had him last season, and he was just pumping out scores left, right, and center, 60, 65.
And he's definitely going to be a guy.
And he's a good backup. He's a good backup option if you've got a shit. If you've got a shit matchup for the Beast or
he's the guy that I'll be watching very carefully in the terms of like who is the other center that's marking him. Is it a smaller guy? They missed a lot of tackles. Is that the weaker defensive edge? He's a guy that can capitalize on that because he's so big and he runs so hard. So yeah, really good. And we talk about this a lot in the preseason. It's like you pick up CTWs that are good rotational matchup guys, and Talakai is definitely one of those guys.
Yeah. No, I think, look, I was surprised that he was still on the board. I didn't actually see him because I was filtering for different positions. But yeah, it was a good pickup. It wasn't one of the guys.
We didn't really talk about him at all, but yeah.
I saw Sifagallo, and then I went, oh, well, I might as well get a Sharky's teammate. I went Will Kennedy. And the reason for that is obviously Lil Papi has his injury issues. I also have my injury issues for the players that I select. So I thought I'd get someone who will at least be able to shore up that position if and when he does go down. Also, threw up a bit of carnage because a few people were chasing fullbacks, so that made me laugh.
And I mean, what pick's that? Like 107.
Let's pick 107 for a guy that should be averaging 65.
Mental.
Fuck. I'll take that every day.
Mental.
I'll be clear. Like, worst comes to worst, I'll clear my bench and I'll take it as an AE. Yep. Thank you very much.
Nah. Had to be done there. Had to be done.
Yeah. So then it returned around to me at pick 110, and I went for a little – I wanted to get a couple of duels. So Jackie Bird was one that I was looking at preseason. Looked really good in trials, and, like, we know what he can do at centre. So been on that right side with Zach Lomax, I think, there is going to be a bit of potential there. So, yeah, I've locked him down. Covers both positions, CTW and
tell your mate, Jack Bird, like to fucking learn how to pass left to right, would you?
No, I don't want him to, though. I want him to break
learn
the line.
Learn that little flick ball.
This
surprised me, this next pick, because I put 5'8 out of my mind. I was like, don't worry about it. There's going to be nothing left in 5'8. They're going to be all taken up. Don't fucking stress about it. Just start filling spots, right? And you can either AE the spot or just get some numpty in. And after the draft is done, you can tinker with your team and sort something out. Anyway, pick 118. I look up. Jaden Campbell's still there. Now, I'm not huge on him. I'm not low on him. It's just like whatever. But I mean, it's pick 10. We only pick 14 players, and I get Jaden.
Yeah, it's pick 100. And I get a 118
5'8 jewel, a guy that has ceiling potential. I just thought it's probably my value pick of the whole draft. This Jaden Campbell. Because that's just fucking mental. I mean, yet to see what sort of season that he has, but just say we go off the last two seasons and the 80-minute games that he's played at fullback, he's averaged 55. Now, 55 averaging 5'8 at pick 118 is cray-cray.
Yeah. I mean, it's I was looking at him for that Jack Bow pick, and I kind of kicking myself a little bit that I didn't go in, but I mean, as soon as I locked down Will Kennedy, that cemented it for me. I wasn't going to go for him because I already had Cody Walker.
Could have been a big cunt move. Could have been if you had a look at my team and went, "Oh, Natty needs a 5'8." Fucking bulls.
Yeah. I should have just unced you. But,
Now this is the loosey goosey part of the fucking draft now. So Jaden Campbell comes in, supremely happy with that. I was like, I thought I was literally AEing the entire position. Now I've got a guy playing fullback in an NRL side. Super happy with that. Then pick 123, Teague Wilton's there. Another Jamal Fogarty pick where you're just like, he is going to average 60. Don't like it. Don't really care. Whatever. Maybe trade bait, I don't know, whatever. I just went at pick 123 for a guy that's going to average 60. Get in.
Yeah. I mean, like, Yeah, he'll average 60 to 65 while he's playing until he gets dropped.
Yep.
Because he can't defend. So look, I don't hate the pick, and I think it is value for where you got him. But yeah, it's a bit ooh. Yeah, it's a bit vanilla.
It's a bit ooh. Brother ooh.
Yeah. Speaking of those picks, pick 131. This is my biggest fade for the whole draft. And look, it was more just gut feel. And, you got to back your gut at times. And Connor Watson, I thought he had a really good preseason with the trials and a few other things. And, look, he was bouncing around, obviously scored that try. Just didn't get picked in the Vegas team. So, that was a bit of a fuck-wittery for me.
Yeah.
Fuck that one. So that was actually my hooker pick. So that hurt a bit more than you'd expect. Anyway, wrapped around back to me, I went for a guy that, look, if things go right on that left edge, I think there is a lot of potential. And, I went Jackie Whiten because pair him up with Cody Walker. Good things could happen, and look, if I miss on one,
pick 134. On the other,
so
please,
yeah,
yep, yep, yep. He'll shit that 52.3 average in. Don't worry about that. That's easy. Hmm. That's a great.
Oh yeah.
Jack Whiten at that. Yeah, huge value. We saw how good the Bunnies were, and their attack was slick. You know that. You know Latrell's going to want to link up with Jack as much as possible so they can fucking slap asses and bump chests and do all that after he scored a try. So, good.
100%.
And then I had pick 142, enter Terrell May.
Yeah, this is probably, I would say this is your best pick.
And I mean, honestly, probably went early on him because no one would have picked him up in our league, but I...
No, I was looking at him. Lucky for I got the him return then. Pick on in round 13. Because I was looking at him, and then I had to scramble.
This was my second front row forward. So picking my second front row forward spot in the 12th round. We've talked about him. I couldn't be happier with this pick. You know, there's a good chance that he outscores Moeka Fodawaker this year. And I picked Moeka Fodawaker, four rounds earlier.
And he might outscore him from the bench.
Yep. So love that. That's huge. Round 13, back to me, picked up Bally Simonson.
Yeah, we were big on him in preseason. So that was, I saw him go and I was like, I was looking at him for my Jackie Whiten pick and preloaded Bailey Simonson before I went Jackie Whiten.
And so, this is the part of the draft where you're picking players who play on the dominant edge for teams that score points. So the Eels are a left dominant side.
Yeah, for sure.
They score a lot of points. Dylan Brown, we're big on him. Sean Lane's back on this side. I mean, we covered it all in the preseason. Bally Simonson should be really good this season. Now he's playing wing as well, so you've probably got more try-scoring opportunities now while Maker Sivo's out. So, look, that was super value, and I was happy with it.
No, for sure. Well, it kept going to me. I needed to get my front row pair. I ended up the only one that was really left on the board that I was interested in was Tommy Felgler. Look, it's one of those ones that I just kind of needed to fill that last front row position. I left it till round 13 to do it. And when we're doing 10 starters, I was trying to fill every other position before it. I think he's going to go all right. I don't think he's going to set the world alight. A 50 average would be fantastic. I'm expecting somewhere close to that, but not realistically expecting
when you're like your second last pick, some people are saying. That's get and 50 then, points, fucking beautiful. Humming.
Return back to me, pick 158. Went Jesse Ramey and he was still on the board. He's very, very dependable. He'll get you 57 average almost season in, season out. So, look, he's going to be my bankable option at CTW if and when obviously the buys happen for Bulldogs and Warriors. So yeah, it's he's gonna be a stalwart in my team, but I'm likely to really psych him in too often.
Crazy value. Really good. Really good. My last pick was and I always like to do this. I always like to just take a bit of a gamble, whatever it was going to be. And we talked about with your last pick, just picking one of the Roosters back rowers that was left. Siwa Wong was there for me. Big CBA from the Guru. He loves him. I love him. Got him in there. And, I've got back rowers coming out of my arsehole. So I was like, look, if it doesn't work out, I'm good. But if it does work out, huge. So obviously minutes still up in the air. We don't know. But eye test looked very good. Very happy with the last pick there. I mean, that's great value.
Yeah, look, the only thing I will say to that is, look, you picked a fullback who has head knock issues. You've picked a halfback who's got knee issues, and you don't have any bench options to cover either. Are you concerned about that?
No.
Fair.
No.
Fair. Okay.
This is the game. This is the game, baby. Rugby league players have niggles. Players are under injury clouds. Were you concerned about Turbo last year, or were you just riding the lightning?
Fuck oath, I was concerned, but I just rode the lightning. And we all saw what happened there, and everyone laughed.
Yeah.
I still made the fucking finals, though. Don't you fucking worry about that.
It's the same thing with any super coach, with any rugby league team. If your best player is out, you're fucked. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's the same risk every year. And I've never been the one to shy away from risk. Like, I'd rather, especially guys like Caelan Ponga, like, you're taking that risk every fucking day of the week. And I mean, Sam Walker, yes, that is a risk, but I just like him. I want him in my side. So
if Ponga gets injured, your side, I won't say your side's fucked, but it significantly fucks up your captaincy choices.
Yeah, 100%. And it also puts
a bit of a line through Marju's effectiveness as well.
If that happens, it's like, yeah, I took that risk. It did work out, and you just start ramping
up the bets from there.
Just preps for 2025. But if he does stay healthy. And I have a fully fit firing Callum Pong with Greg Marzu outside him.
Yeah, that's my
very hard to beat. Very hard to beat. So I will say after the draft finished, so we had that whole I owned Riso's pick four. So I was like, well, give me your fourth pick. He had Jermaine Hopgood. I was like, yep, he's mine. Gave him Teague Wilton. He jumping down about it a little bit, but it is a bet. That's what it is.
That's a bit fucked. Given a guy that won't play out the season in his position. But look,
Teague Wilson's great. I could have given him anyone. There's no stipulation.
Could have given him Matto.
I could have. But I could have given him someone worse as well. So I've done pretty nice. I've done him. I know he's your boy. I know he's your bum chum.
I'm just trying to be the sense of reason here, my friend.
So I thought I did him a favor by giving him, because I was never going to give him.
You gave him a dick sandwich, is what you gave him.
I was never going to give him Ryan Madison. What, I won a fourth round draft pick and I give him Ryan Madison? What's the point of winning the bet?
What, you get a play two rounds earlier.
I can give him my last pick. Because I own his. I can give him my very last pick if I want. I can give him anyone I want.
Yeah. But those days of when we were doing that, like the no cunt rule came in and like it's.
And then he jumped up and down about it a little bit and I was like, well, now I'm going to dig my heels in. Maybe if you're a little bit more, you know, okay, yep. Bet's a bet. There you go, mate. Maybe I would have been a little bit nicer. Just, yeah,
fuck off. Sometimes, that's not in your diet DNA.
Sometimes you just gotta fucking pay bets when bets are fucking need to be paid. Simple as that. So Hopgood comes into the Eskimo Bros. Now, a team that was looking very sensual already now looks real good.
Yeah. Look, it's Caelan Ponga. It's in your side. It's all Caelan Ponga.
Then I looked at free agents and Taylor May's sitting there. Oh, Valiant Simpson, see you, bro. Taylor May comes in. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe Taylor May was sitting there in free agents. So then Taylor May comes in. What a draft. Probably one of my favorite drafts in all of history. It's a good team. It's a very good team.
I think it's a strong team. Obviously, 5'8 is probably a position that you're struggling.
But it was going to be an AE.
But at now the end I've of the day, you've got a player who's actually going to play there. So look, it could have been a lot worse. You're hedging your bets, not hedging your bets. You're going to have a few selection dilemmas for who you're going to play 2RF. I think you're pretty locked in with who you're going to play each week for your CT dub, but 2RF's going to be a tough one for you to figure out.
Carrigan Hopgood every week.
Just every week. You're not even going to give Siwa a look in?
No, not at this point. Not he has to show. And this is the thing. I have that many back rowers that I can play Carrigan and Hopgood, who are one of the two premium 2RFs in the comp, and have them play and get at least 60 each consistently every week and just see what the other guys do. Like, if they play well, sweet, you might make the team. If you don't, I don't really fucking care because I've got Carrigan and Hopgood.
It's a good fallback position to have two base beasts ready to rock and roll. This is one of the first years that I've gone the complete opposite and gone high-ceiling guys, higher ceiling guys for 2RF in Fifita and Eli Katar. So it's going to be interesting to see if it does pan out, because both have had injury issues. But look,
I feel like we've swapped positions from last year. So last year you had all the injury worries and the super high ceiling, the supersonic players with all the ceiling, but all the injury worry. And I had more of the well-rounded team from all the way from 1 to 13 and not any sort of supersonic guys, but on any given day, it was going to pump out a decent score. I think we're swapped this year. I've got the big ceiling team that all have all the injury worries, but yours is a very consistent, well-rounded team.
Yeah, I think I think the only position that's a little bit different is the 2RF, where I've gone for that ceiling captaincy option each week, VC option as well with Eli Katoa and Dave Fifita, but also Pappy. Oh, I'm so stoked you're not Pappy that late.
Well, that's the big gamble, isn't it? To see what happens
I had to have the gamble.
And how that pans out. But again, picking from 11th, very solid team. Very solid team. I mean, I've got a better side because I picked higher. It's simple as that.
You're always going to have a better side because you know what you're doing, and you had significantly better picks in rounds 1, 2, and 3. So if you didn't come out with a better side, you don't know what you're fucking doing.
Something horribly wrong. So interesting. And then just a little preview for next week. So we had to push the round one bet to round two, which is you have to put up one of your first five picks, and it is the Eskimo Bros versus the Notarizers. So plenty to chat about next week.
Big time.
I can't remember the last time we came up against each other in a really big bet round. So it's going to be good chat.
Not with a mandatory bet round. No, I can't remember one at all.
So very good. All right, let's get into the Listener League team. I'm just going to list our team. I'm not going to go through too much about the draft. We'll just talk about the team as a whole. Yep. So Hooker, we just left Hooker to the very last pick. We picked up Brandon Hands, but now we have – who do we have now? Randall.
I think we picked up Chris Randall. Yeah.
Yep. Our front row forwards, Payne Haas, he was our second pick. Blake Laurie had to get blocker. Now, the thing with the rub and the thing with the Listener League is we have a rule that when we're picking guys, we always lean towards the guys that we've talked a lot about on the podcast, guys that are rub heavy. So Blake Laurie, obviously huge for a rub pick. Eli Katoa. Big rub guy. Got him in round four. We picked up Preston Campbell. Picked up Preston Campbell. We got him in round nine. Jacob Preston.
I wish we got Preston Campbell that late. Good.
Adam Elliott. We got him pick 11. I'm not happy with that pick, but we do have a lot of back rowers.
Yeah. I think this is that was a pick where the site shut itself as well as Riverside shut itself, the recording platform.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, fuck. Yeah. Everything was shitting itself and we shit ourselves in that pick. Adam Reynolds, he slipped way too far. We ended up getting him pick 56. We were happy with that. We weren't looking for him. He fell in our lap. We had to take him. Now, this is the big rub call. We took Dylan Brown and we took him pick five overall. So big rub call. We talked about him a lot in the preseason. We'll be backing him for a big season. Does he have that crazy ceiling? No, but we shored up a 5-8 position that is almost impossible to fill after round two and a guy that is easily going to be the number one guy at that position. Hopefully we can use him throughout the year to win bets.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, he's definitely one that very, very, very keen on moving forward.
Yep. We got Val Holmes and our CTWs. Love this pick. So this is our third pick.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, really good value at pick 25. We got Jacob Kiraz. We got him in round 5, pick 45. Love that. So CTWs are looking tasty at this point. Picked up Selwyn Cobbo. We picked him up in round 8. That's crazy value. Jack Bird, round 12. So at the moment, our CTWs are looking like Val Holmes, Kiraz, Cobbo, Bird. Love that. Mm. We were struggling to sort of get our fingerprints all over a fullback sort of after, round 5. We're like, fuck, they're dropping like flies. What are we going to do here? Neither of us were big on Will Kennedy, but he kept slipping and slipping and slipping. And then pick 65 came, had to take him, picked up Will Kennedy as our fullback. And then, so that's pretty much our starting 13 as it is now. On the bench, we went, when did we get Viliami kick out? Pick 136.
Oh, that was ridiculous value. He shouldn't have stepped that far. Yeah.
Mental. Jerome Buller at pick 96. So he was our flex position. We used the flex in this draft and picked up Buller there. So we've got two fullbacks. Are they world beaters? No, but they're fullbacks for NRL teams, so we'll take that. We picked up Kai Pierce-Paul. That was like our third last pick. I'm just like, look, if he gets a starting edge and Dylan Lucas isn't named, it's a good pickup. Didn't work out for us. We've ended up swapping him out for Connolly Lemuelu, who will get 80 minutes on the edge there. So he's been swapped out. I was really big on getting Campbell Graham in this league. If we can keep him all year, I love that. If he comes back mid-season with the way the Bunnies looked in the weekend, all of a sudden, if he comes back and he's fit and firing and we've got a back line of Adam Reynolds, Dylan Brown, Val Holmes, Kiraz, Cobbo and Graham.
Big time. He's, and to be honest, like he's one of those type of guys that, look, he will punch out this injury rehab and he'll work really hard to get back from this back issue. And look, they would have learned a lot from rushing him back last season because he came back, re-injured himself, with the sternum thing, and re-injured himself. And like it didn't pan out for them. And I think they would have learned a lot from that rehab. They're not putting a real time frame on it, and that's smart. And I think it gives us a lot of potential to get him for nicks effectively. And then keep him there for a while because he averaged 68 last season. Ridiculous.
Hectic. And that's the thing. If we can keep him there on the bench, keep him protected from bets, if he comes back and Bunnies are making a run for the finals, it could be huge. Could be huge for us. So we'll try and keep a hold of him because we do love that. But it was a good draft. It always is a tough draft with the Listener League because everyone's bang on and everyone likes the same players that we like. So it's always a difficult draft.
Yeah, like all the players we're big on always seem to drop earlier than we kind of want to go. There were a couple of really good teams that were drafted in that one. A couple of stinkers. But yeah, it's
stonkers. New one.
Couple of Vinos tonight.
Couple
of Reds are absolutely fucking.
Yes, I love it. All right. So it's going to be an interesting season. Listener League does mirror the Lovers League, so plenty of bets. The boys are starting to get a little bit anxious about the bet round. Some of them don't know what to expect.
They've got no idea what's coming for them.
People keep asking me questions. They're like, I don't understand. Can you run? Don't worry, sweetheart. I will run you all through it. I'll stroke your hair, kiss you on the forehead.
I'll tell you you're pretty.
I'll ease you into it. I'll ease you into it. Yeah.
I'll thumb it in. Don't worry.
Thumb it in. Plenty of lube. I'll make it nice for you. Right. Okay. Let's fucking, what should we do? Let's get into, we reckon, some questions.
Yeah, sure. Let's hit some up. So do we want to hit up those Ask Us Anything ones that we put the word out for?
Okay. Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
You want answers?
You know the question.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
So, and this is, yeah, this site's killing us, but we did try and record the Listener League draft as we went through it, and we put out the call for some questions that weren't Supercoach related, and we got some really good ones that were interesting. We thought we'd cover them in this one because we didn't want you guys to miss out on them. So first up, I've got a couple, Wook, and then you can take over with a couple that you've got.
Sounds
first
good.
Out, someone asked what we do for work. I am a firefighter on the Gold Coast. I know, serious job. You wouldn't think it, but that's what I do for bread. Wooker, what do you do?
So being a fucker, it's only a part-time role for you.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So put the uniform on, mate. She's all business.
I'm a civil engineer and project manager. So it's a boring job, and you can see why the stats and the spreadsheets come in, because that's my bread and butter.
Big numbers guy. Big numbers guy. Three-way arm wrestle. Natty, Wook, Guru, who wins? I come last.
I think you're bringing up the rear, and I think Guru's got the gig ahead of me. So
ooh,
I think
the big fella, Guru gets the win. I mean, 100-meter sprint, fuck, let's talk about that. But arm wrestling, I've got no chance. Here's a good one. If you could have a beer with anyone in the current NRL roster, who would it be?
Oh, two names definitely stick out for me. Well, three actually. Cheese, Victor Radley, and Munster. I know Munster's given up the sauce, but I think all three of those would be absolute legends on the drink.
Yeah, I love the Mad Dog call, but yeah, Victor the Inflictor out in the piss, that'd be the guy. That would be the guy. That would be so good. Favorite Denzel movie? Denzel doesn't make a bad movie, so it's hard to pick one. What do you got for us?
There's two that I'm thinking of. Deja Vu is an underrated movie. I like a bit of sleeper movies. The other one, Man on Fire. I just can't get past it. It's one of my faves.
Yes, and Man on Fire is mine as well. Like, obviously, Training Day is fantastic, but Man on Fire. I love Man on Fire. It ticks all the boxes for me. Really good. Actually, I watched it the other night. It was really, really good. Love it. Yep. So good. All right, what do you got for me?
Timmy's asked, what's Natty's backstory? Bears/Roosters fan, but looks as though he lives on the Gold Coast, I think. So is he a Queenslander? Is he a New South Welshman? Where did you play your junior footy? Obviously leaning into the state of origin. And then favorite player of all time. I think I know that one. So
yeah. So I was born in Sydney. That's where I go for the North Sydney. So I am a trader, I go for Queensland. I was born in Sydney, but then I moved out to the country, and out in the country, everyone goes for, you know, there's Queenslanders, there's New South Wales, at my school anyway. Like, it wasn't soul-heartedly New South Welshmen out there. So I was just one of the kids that went for Queensland, then moved up this way. And the reason I go for the Roosters is I know a couple of the guys that play for the Roosters, and I've got to back someone. So Roosters is my shoehorn team that get the go until the Bears come back. And Greg Florimo. My favorite player of all time.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Mm-hmm. Next one is, at what point did you blokes decide to start making spreadsheets for your Supercoach draft league, and do all the blokes in your league think you're weird for caring so much?
Yeah, so Wooker, you pretty much started the spreadsheet bang as soon as we started, because you wanted to track everything that we were doing, and that just grew.
Like, back when it was called Supercoach Gold, I think it's Supercoach Plus now, we were a little bit peeved that there wasn't anything to do with teams conceding points, because that's where the real value is in the analysis, rather than point scoring, which is pretty easy and vanilla to go through. So I started to track that and started to, pick out the players that we wanted to talk about based on who they're coming up against rather than how they've been scoring. So that's kind of where we started to do the spreadsheets. And this is like, I don't know, what was it, 7-8 years ago? And yeah, kind of snowballed from there. So each year started adding in little bits and bobs that we'd add into the calculations. And then each week when we do the stats, like if we did it all automated, like scores like Pierre Cora's 4 would be going into the averages that would blow out the system. So there is a little bit of adjustment just for players that are coming in to take over certain positions and all that sort of shit. Boring stuff, but all it means is we get a more realistic output.
Yeah. Boring and answer, look, but, yeah. early on, it was very simple, very sort of like...
Super simple.
Yeah, yeah. And then every year, Wooker's just added to it and added to it. And now we have the beast that is the Patreon at the moment. So, yeah. And it's still ever growing. Like every year we add to it. Every year we come up with ideas. Every year you guys come up with ideas and hit us with, and we change things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, spreadsheets early on, but it's grown into something that's that we never could have predicted.
Yeah, and look, the whole reason for the Patreon even being born is because we're only using maybe 5% of the stats in our
on the potty
podcast.
Yep,
and we know that everyone's got different players that we don't touch on, and yeah, that's one of the main reasons why we did the Patreon, because it's kind of wasted analysis that's sitting there ready to be used.
Yep. And as for the dudes in our league, they honestly don't listen to the podcast. They couldn't care less. They don't give a fuck. So
yeah,
they should listen to the podcast, but they 100%. Don't.
Yes. yeah. Jakey's asked a double barrel question, a pretty loaded question in the second one. But he's asked, how did you boys meet and who is the better Supercoach player? That's a good one.
Well, so we met briefly back in the day. We have a mutual friend, Ryan Lewis. You were going somewhere and I ended up fucking crashing your room. Yep. And then that same bloke brought you into the league and said, yeah, you know, Joshy will be keen.
The formation of the league.
So initiation. One of the OGs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So Wooker joined the league when we created the league, and this was when Wook lived overseas. And so for the first 2 or 3 years of the league, the trip away, you know.
Well, I think we started the league and then I moved over to the UK. So never actually physically met the boys for a couple of years while I was over there.
Never, ever met him. And then one of the trip aways, we're at the pub underneath the Sofitel in Brisbane, and then Wook just turns up and
awesome.
The boys are like, wow, okay, this is the Wookerwick that we, keeps popping up in the chat.
Yeah, he's catfished us.
He's real. Wow, fuck.
Yeah, no, that was unreal. That was such a good trip as well. But yeah, yeah. Best Supercoach player. Well, you're better at our league, but I think it's
two premierships.
It'd be pretty close for who's the better Supercoach player, though, because when it comes to Supercoach, and not just betting, I think you're definitely the better batter. Based on the premierships, but yeah, it's a better Supercoach player. I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing is, like, and that's why we have a podcast. I mean, we both like the same things. We have the same opinions to a degree. So yeah, it goes without saying that even when we're trying to draft the same team, it's not really hard. You know what I mean? Like, we're all on the same page. So Yeah, for sure. Yeah, be very similar.
So Brady's asked this one of the most hard-hitting questions I've seen.
I like asks,
who wins the comp and why is it the Broncos?
Look, Broncos will be up there. I actually put money on the Panthers to win again because I think really? $3.75 is crazy value because you think of what Panthers will be paying come grand final week because they're probably going to
be there or thereabouts for sure.
So you would think they'd be paying like $1.60, $1.65. So $3.75 is supreme value. I put some money on them, and I like the Warriors as an outside chance. The Warriors and the Bunnies.
You don't think the Warriors like overextended a little bit last season?
Like for sure. I'm picking teams that are paying really well that have a real shot at doing it. The Bunnies are an interesting one because
I was just about to say the Bunnies. I think
they'll start slow, and then when they get all their troops back, they're just going to be firing on all cylinders coming into the finals.
They've got so much strike potential in that team, and especially when Campbell Graham comes back. So, like, they're my smoky for the top four.
Yeah,
definitely. That's all from my side.
Nice.
So yeah, we can run into the regular questions. Yes, we do. So just bear with me for a sec. So Watto's asked us, thoughts on Griffin Neame with Cohen Hess injury? Does that mean an increase to minutes? And is Leo Thompson a good front row smoky? Love the Leo Thompson call.
Yep. Yeah, Leo Thompson, great. I'd be getting him before Griffin Neame. Neame's going to be one of those guys that let's wait and see. I mean, no one's going to be clamoring over each other to go and pick him up. I honestly don't think he gets enough minutes to make him Supercoach relevant. I think you'll probably see more relevance out of Cotter and Jason Tomalolo. But not for me.
I think realistically, like McLean's aging, I think this might be one of the last seasons where he'll be the starting front rower. So,
yep.
Look, Griffin Neame's a fantastic player. And we've seen him in rep footy as well. So he's definitely one that I've been looking at. And in the next couple of years, he's probably one that I'll be looking at in Supercoach, but not this season, I don't think.
Yeah.
Next one, Aaron's asked, what to do with Simonson? Now that he's on the wing, is he just a placeholder until Siva gets back or will he shift in?
Keep him. Fantastic. Yeah. Like, he'll score tries while he's on the wing.
I think his ceiling potential goes up, his floor potential goes down. So obviously cycle him in and out based on matchups. But this week playing the Doggies, you want to be playing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Semi James has asked, is it worth taking a punt on Ethan Strange? Would need to drop Sua, so that's Jaden Sua, or Connor Nemalolu. That was a tongue twister. Jeez, to do
you
so,
you had a run up at it too, didn't you?
I did. I took it first. Yeah, anyway. He's got full two refs at the moment, so he's got Lane, Lukey, and Elikatoa. So he doesn't necessarily need one of them, and he can drop one. Look, I'd be tempted to drop Lemuelu for him if you're struggling in 5'8". I wouldn't be picking him up if you're looking for a CT job option though.
It's all about the 5'8", yeah. I'd pick him up. If you're just flush with two RFs, getting a 5'8 in there and just seeing how he goes, see how he plays, see what sort of output he has, you could do worse.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I'm not absolutely sold on him, and you wouldn't be playing him in your CT dub, but yeah, worst case scenario, you drop him and you pick up someone else in a few weeks when it all goes to shit.
Yep.
Anthony's asked us, how many minutes do you expect from Stone to be playing at lock? And what are you expecting to be scoring? I'll let you go first.
Yeah, he's a big PPM guy, so his minutes will be – I mean, his score will be heavily tied to his minutes. We've never seen huge minutes out of Stone. I don't think that'll change. Mm. I mean, 50 minutes. If you can get 45 to 50 points out of him, you're happy, I think.
Yeah, I think he'll top out at around like 60 minutes. You'd be fucking loving life. I just can't see that happening. I think 55 minutes is probably where we'll see it, and his PPM's going to be there or thereabouts at one. So 55, you'd be pretty stoked with that.
If you get 55, you're fucking humming.
Mm, Yeah, so I think 50 to 55 is what I'm expecting out of him. Anything else is bonus.
Yep.
Plotter has asked, Billy Smith, any chance of holding his spot? And is it worth worth handcuffing Felt for Valame?
So Billy Smith, the way that Suoliti played on the weekend, I would suggest
pretty
that,
fucking flash. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I'd suggest Billy Smith misses out.
I'm a big Billy Smith fan. But yeah.
It's just a lot of mouths to feed there. I'm not sure how he fits into that side. If you've got him, just don't worry about dropping him. Just see how it goes. See how round two team lists come out. You know, I've seen stranger things happen. And with Kyle Felt and Semi Valame, I mean, it all depends on what sort of bench you have. If you have got an extended bench, yes, for sure. If you've got a bench like we do where it's only four players, I really wouldn't worry about it. I think Kyle Felt's obviously preferred there. He would have to fuck up royally or get injured for him to miss out that spot right now, I think.
Yeah. No, I think it's a real tough one. And I think if your choice is to drop Billy Smith to grab Felt to cover for Valame, maybe you do that because you obviously haven't got Valame playing, so you probably need a scoring player and you want to be keeping either Billy Smith or Valame. But yeah, it's probably one that I wouldn't be rushing to drop Billy Smith just because of that scoring potential he does have.
I would rather drop Valame straight up for Felt.
Yeah,
and keep Billy Smith
because it's his position to lose now, Felt. Yep. So yep. Yeah. Watto's asked, got two predicaments from Teamless. First, with Verrills being named on the bench, he's got two options: either pick up Randall or play Stone at hooker, which he's not sure which would be better. So answer that one first.
Yeah, I would rather be running with Randall than Verrills because Randall at least has a chance to play through the middle, whereas Verrills will only be playing limited minutes at hooker.
From so the bench you've got, as well.
Yeah, and you've got a double dip there with Randall. You've got he can play time at hooker, then they can move him through the middle. There's a bigger chance that he plays more minutes than Verrills. So I'd rather Randall there. With Stone, I'd probably rather Randall over all three of them. So Randall first, then Stone, then Verrills.
Yeah. And look, I think Randall is a really good chance of taking a fair few minutes in the middle. Just because I don't see Palacia having a big enough motor to go 80.
Yeah.
So second question from Watto is with Curran named on the bench, I'm skeptical of minutes. Would Lemuelu play over him this week? Yes. Lemuelu will get 80 minutes. Pretty sure about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who's
named on the bench? Curran. No, Curran's dogs. What are we talking about here?
No, with Curran being named on the bench, he's skeptical of minutes because he's going to get fuck all because Salmon's starting at lock.
Yep. Oh, yeah, you're happy with Lemuelu, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Just expect more of the same from Connolly Lemuelu from last year. Do you know what I mean? Like he can be a try-scoring threat, going to play 80 minutes, his base is good, happy.
Yep, for sure. So Noel has asked this, for CTW spot quandary. Great word. Tuala on the right sting for Newey at home to Canberra. So that's actually not bad. Or his new man crush, Zach Laybutt, in an away game, slicing up the Dolphins' left edge. So obviously Zach Laybutt's come in on the right center spot. So taken over from Hiku from last year. So Hiku's been a pretty consistent scorer of previous seasons, about 45, 50 odd. Look, I haven't seen too much of Laybutt. He did look good in trials and I think, did he play, was it him? Oh no, it was Darby that played in the PNG match.
So it was the four again? Say the four again.
The fourth CDW spot. So between Tuala and Zach Laybutt.
The matchup is with the Cowboys right attack against the Dolphins left. So probably Laybutt.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Look, Tuala's not going to set the world alight. And I don't think they'll be attacking that edge with as much gusto as they did with Dom Young.
Yep.
Murray has... Oh, no, I've answered that one. Never mind. That was a time-sensitive one. Adam has asked us, thoughts on having one bench player who you throw out to waivers each week and look to get a high ceiling plug and plays. I don't hate the play.
Yeah. Fuck, why not?
It's the, if you're cycling through to get your best plug and play each week, if you've got an abundance of options in your waivers, this is a fantastic idea. If you don't, you're almost in a bit of a pick and stick league, and you don't want to be throwing high quality players away that easily. But if there's a bunch of options on there, why not?
Yeah, like if you're in an 8-man league and you're running with a standard 17 player setup, then yeah just sure. Start cycling dudes in.
Yeah. Big Dog's Gotta Eat has asked us, is there a world where you take four in at 5'8", or would you just go with the AE?
Depends who's on your bench. If you've got bench players that will guarantee you a 45 or more, then it's AE all day, baby.
If you've got guys like Maddo, Smithies, and all these other ones who are high base that'll give you a 50-odd base to work from, yeah, I'd be AN for sure.
Yep. As long as you're happy with over 45, then AE. Because otherwise, don't think Foreign is going to average more than 45.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you've got players like Saab who are high ceiling, low floor players on your bench, you don't want to be opening yourself up to an AE. So taking Foreign's 40 or to 45 might be worth it.
Yep.
Davo's asked us, Pappenhausen, Grant, RTS, Tungo, Kelly. So Brian Kelly. Who to VC and who to captain? So I think Pappenhausen and Grant, you put a line through them.
Yep.
So Pappenhausen and Grant, Storm versus Panthers. So put a line through those two.
Yep.
RTS versus Sharks. So I'm half interested. Obviously, he'll be playing left side up against the right side. So up against Jesse Raymond, who's usually a pretty good defender.
Yeah,
so,
the better defensive side.
Yeah. So not as super keen on that one. Tungo, obviously, he'll be playing on the right side versus the left side. So possibly coming up against Meany, who's unfamiliar to the
I don't mind that. Position.
I don't mind that play. Mm.
It's a good VC for me.
At the moment, Tungo for me. When do they play in the same game? Yeah. And then Brian Kelly. I think he's probably got a really good matchup, but obviously he's got that injury cloud on him. So might not be performance-wise, might not be getting what you're hoping out of him. Just based on when the games are played, do you know if the Sharks game is played before or after the Panthers?
Sharks is before the Panthers.
Look, personally, I'd go RTS, VC, Tungo.
Yep.
C.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Dave has asked her a second question. Horsburgh owner, so third TRF upon return, with Martin playing in as the third TRF at the moment. Thoughts on dropping Martin for Morgan Smithies? So the logic is to have one of either Smithies or Horsburgh to lock down that 13 spot. And whoever does is probably going to be more valuable than Martin. So kind of hedging his bets. The one thing you're not thinking of, Dave, is the horrible circumstance of when Big Red comes back and him and Smithies end up sharing the position.
Exactly.
Which is a huge concern to think about. So if you're dropping, and it could be the case that both of them will end up scoring less than Martin. So I think you got to probably pick and stick with Horsburgh and probably keep Martin as well. I'd be too concerned with that just blowing up in your face, to be honest.
100%. I mean, I would just be sticking with it at the moment. Again, this goes back to that, what we were talking about at the start of the podcast, like just chill, guys. Let's fucking see a couple of games first. See what's going on. See how players are playing.
And the difficulty is you're not going to know Smithy's role until Big Red comes in, and even a couple of games in, like with both of them playing in the minute sharing, and where does Horsburgh come in? Does he come in to spell Papali'i, or does he come into the middle for Smithies? Like, there's a few too many question marks on that one. Jonty has asked us, if you had Little in a draft, would you consider getting Ray Stone over him? I mean, I like the dual factor. And for round one, I would probably want to have Ray Stone ahead of Little just because of the hammy issue that Little's carrying. But yeah, I think it's much of a muchness.
I'd go Stone. Little's obviously only going to get max 60 minutes. And he just doesn't have a lot about his game to make those 60 minutes count.
Even if he's fit, he will get 60 minutes. And then, look, he's a real chance of, like, tearing his hammy. So could have a period out as well. That's all from the questions this week.
That's it. Patreon. That's all. All right. Well, before we get out of here, let's talk a little bit about what is in store for the Rubdown going forward for the 2024 season. First up, Wook, talk to me about the Patreon. Keep this to 45 minutes or less, this little chat.
All right. I'll try to go through quickly. So just get a bit of a breakdown. Like I spoke about it a little bit before, but our stats machine's based on total positional point scoring and conceding. So looking at both aspects, whereas most other places just look at point scoring, we're looking at what teams and what specific positions are conceding points. So you can really make your best positional decisions each week. It makes the most representative stats that you're available anywhere. That includes Supercoach Plus. It includes anyone else who's releasing anything that I've seen. So each week we'll run through new content for two separate tiers. So tier one is the base level. It gives you season average stats. It's called Loosen the Knots. So first things you'll get season average positional rankings. So for point scoring and points conceding for Supercoach points. Then you'll get the game matchups each week based on who's lining up against who and their scoring and a few other things. And then you'll get a positional matchup as well, which then identifies who they're coming up against and kind of ranks them based on their scoring potential each week. For tier two, called Happy Ending, you get everything from tier one, plus you get weekly TLT takeaways where we give a bit of analysis on who's coming in, who's going out, and all that sort of stuff. And then we've got the team summary sheets. So this gives you your high-level Supercoach scoring and conceding points, but also some try scoring and conceding areas to help out with the ATS multis. Also going through draw difficulty, so based on Supercoach points conceded, ATS predictor rankings is another one that we send out that was pretty successful last year. I think we got at a 65% clip, which was pretty decent. Positional matchup rankings, including captaincy selector tool, which is pretty handy. Flip and fetch sheets, which we do each week, and that will start around round six when we start to get enough stats in the stat machine to pump out enough information to make the strength of schedule a bit more relevant for this season. And realistically, those look at the current run of games versus the future run of games and helps you target and identify players that will have a deflated average. So guys that you'll want to fetch and you want to get because they'll have a lower average than people are looking at. On the flip side, it'll also identify guys who have an inflated average. So guys that have come up against easier opposition that have trounced them, they're probably overvalued and you probably want to sell them on. So your flip targets. Other one is your form guide, and this is effectively looking at all of the stuff that we offer in tier one, but this is based on a 6-round average. So this is positional rankings, game matchups, positional matchups, all of that just based on the form guide. And this is the best bet, and this is what we use in each of our podcasts. Gives you a really good idea about how teams are performing both in attack and defense. And as an added bonus, we'll be releasing the following content every 3 weeks, alternating between strength of schedules. So all of the usual groupings that we roll through, home and away analysis. So that'll be released periodically as well. And then the player ceiling analysis for scoring and conceding. So this will be your real ticket to picking your captains and picking your VCs. And then
fucking hell,
the big one, Free Agent Frothies, a weekly waiver podcast on Sundays.
Yes, that'll be me.
Filthy hands all over that one.
Yes, so Sunday night late, so the potty will be available late on Sunday, so you'll wake up Monday on your way to work, you'll be able to whack it in, and all I'll be doing is cracking a frothy and just frothing over free agents. We'll be talking about, I'll probably pick two players out of each game that really interest me. I'll talk about the stats that they put up in those games, talk about how I rate them on the waiver wire scale, so how high of priority you need to go get these guys. And so that'll get your mind ticking towards the next round, and also start your prepping for your waiver wire claims. And then that'll roll into the TLT takeaways that Walker will put out on the Patreon, and then our waiver wire ride is that's going to be available each week on the Patreon as well. So, yeah, huge. A lot of gear there, guys. And, yeah, it's all the stuff that we use. It's all the stuff that we use every week. It helps with the podcast, helps us with our teams as well. And we think the $8 that you're paying there is cheap as chips with the content that you are actually getting.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Can't wait, guys. It's going to be a huge season. This has been a huge podcast. Plenty of dribble, but I think we should get the fuck out of here.
Big time.
Next week will be normal scheduling, normal broadcasting as usual. Tuesday night will be that'll be our recording. We'll go live on YouTube. So if you want to check out our
technology pending.
Here we go. Yeah, that'll be interesting. But if you want to tune in live on YouTube to get our opinions on players for each of the games before you put your waiver wire claims in, that's the best bet. Tune in on YouTube there. But if you're sweet, you can just catch us on the podcast, and that'll be available later on Tuesday night, early Wednesday, something like that. We've also got Chase Your Losses getting pumped out each week. That'll be out tomorrow by the time you listen to this, it's probably already available. So heaps of content, guys.
Get us in the green, mate.
Yes, keen to stay in the green. Keen to stay in the green. But, yeah. Big year coming up, guys. We love you. Thanks for sticking with us. And, big year coming up.
Cannot wait.
All right, brother, let's get out of here. Remember, there are many things a man can do with his time.
And this is better than those things.
You're damn right, Wooker. Catch us next round on the Weekly Rubdown.
You can take me now. I have seen it all.
Get that, India.
Ta-ta. Ta-ta. Ta-ta.